Blog Talk Radio.
Again, good night all, and welcome to Empowering Lives and the Shaping Destinies. My name is Dr. Yvette Kanarek. I am your host and your sponsor, and tonight we have a very interesting and packed evening. I want to thank you for joining in. It is a pleasure and a privilege for me to share your company tonight. I appreciate you. So tonight we will be focusing on what I defined as a time to eat or eating times. There are a few other things that I will be discussing throughout the program tonight. And this is for those of you who are listening in on your computers. You can feel free to send your questions forward to me. And sometimes people indicate that they are having challenges logging in. If this is the case, please reach out to me so that we can do what we need to do to ensure that you log in properly. Before I start this week's discussion, I want to encourage you to call your friends and say to them that something very interesting is happening here tonight. There is much learning that is going on here. And I would like you to say to them that they should log in. This is a program that they do not want to miss. So I will play another song, and in the meantime, I will give you the time to reach out to your friends and your loved ones. If they are logging in, it is https://blogtalkradio.com/the Neo Nation. And that is B as in boy, L as in Larry, O as in orange, G as in green, T as in tango, A as in Adam, L as in Larry, T as in kangaroo, R as in Randy, A as in Adam, D as in Denver, I as in Iceland, O as in orange, / The Neo Nation. And The Neo Nation is T as in tango, H as in heart, E as in early, N as in Nancy, E as in early, O as in orange, N as in Nancy, A as in Adam, T as in tango, I as in Iceland, O as in orange, N as in Nancy. So that is www.blogtalkradio.com/the Neo Nation. For those of you who are calling in, and for those of you who are reaching out to your friends that will be calling in, the calling in number is 347-857-1311, and that number again is 347-857-1311. So please take the time to reach out to your friends and say to them, something very good is happening here tonight. Do not learn alone.
תגידי מה איתך, תגידי למה בכל יום מחדש משאירה אותי בחוץ תגידי עד מתי, עד בוודאי רק משחקת בליבי כאילו אין מחר ועוד לא מאוחר תגידי מה יהיה, תגידי למה איך את לא רואה שכבר אני תלוי על הקצות תגידי כמה זמן, איפה אחד אני יודע שאני ואת זה כבר סיפור ישן כמו צליל לא מכוון בפנים אני צועק אותך אני אוהב אבל אותי את משגעת אני צועק כמה שפחות כואב ככה את פחות תגידי מה קורה, תגידי משהו, למה שותקת ונשמע כמו צעקה, תגידי מה נשאר, מה כבר נותר, אחרי הכל יש לך אצלי מלא מקום שלא נגמר עדיין מאושר בפנים אני צועק אותך אני אוהב אבל אותי את משגעת אני צועק
Mr. Omar Adams from Chicago in the U.S., and that is from one of his albums. So before going into the discussions for tonight, I want to do a little bit of introduction of myself. I am thinking that I have never done this. And if I give a little bit of background on who I am, then it might be more understandable to my audience and the people who reach out to me. So I was born in the island of Trinidad and Tobago, and I came from very humble origins. And what has happened to me is that I was a victim of aggression, and I was also the victim of discrimination and racism. And in my search for ways to cope, I inadvertently studied so much and earned so many degrees that I actually found myself where I qualified myself out of the market. So I was at the same time I was writing, and I now have 29 books. Published books on the market. I started off with a 5-volume series, historical volumes, and I'm a historian. I also have an MBA, so I'm a business major. I've done financial, and I do financial analysis. When I went in to do my doctoral degree in psychology, I was required to do a master's in psychology, so I have a master's in psychology as well. And when I was looking for employment, I concluded a course on educational leadership. And the thing about that course was that it was a course that administrators and principals and district supervisors did in their role of managing the school system. After doing that course, I realized that that's not what I wanted to do. It was too demanding, and I had children who still needed my care and attention, so that was not something that would work for me. I did do a doctoral degree in theology with an emphasis on counseling psychology. And I did clinical neuropsychology, clinical psychology with an emphasis on neuropsychology. So along the way, because I was a victim of aggression and racism and discrimination and so many hardships, I was seeking ways to cope. And there is a makeup in me to share my knowledge and share the information. And that was one of the reasons why I began writing. So I have several self-help books. I also have works on aggression in proximity relationships, which is my theory, and I've spoken about that quite regularly, and I will go back to addressing that and talking about those volumes at that time. I was also concerned about why relationships turn out to be so bad, and especially intimate relationships that entailed the sexual, had a sexual component. And those concerns and research and insight led me to the Sex and Wealth series. So I have several books in that area. So I didn't arrive where I arrived at through planning or through a desire to be well educated. I arrived there because I used what I thought was my primary or main strength, which was my ability to learn. And based on the idea that no one can take your knowledge away from you. And this was something that my parents inculcated when they said, you go to school, you learn. No one can take that away from you. And that motivated me and propelled me into what I am today. So, as some of you might know, I do diplomatic work with the Sovereign Kingdom of Mana. And because there are so many interesting things that are happening right before our eyes, when I come back, I will talk just a little bit about the Kingdom of Mana and what I do in the Kingdom of Mana.
Er weckt sich aber auch so, mein Einblicksplatz ist nicht du hier, weil ich weiß, in ich hoffe, sie dem gules Kind das so, bin ich dann zu Schande, du kennst an der Hand. Selbst in dir gestanden und greif. Arroge geht mit der Brenn, jeder Ege kommen erkennt. Moschiach auf den Wegen gleich in kein Gegend. Ach, hat geläuert war, aber du jür verzeiht. Adel wird noch kommen, Moschiach, kann dir die Schulein fiel. benefits of the balance. Denn so ist, was ich gesehen. Wir singen an die Mamen. Wie gleich das kann noch jetzt geschehen. Sing der Eid, er hat sich lieb. In der Schemme hat sich gesehen. Wie aber wie schön ist. Also ich will jut verzeihen. Also wird noch kommen, Moschia. Gar nicht mein Bein war. Ach, hat gelohnt, was die Wim noch gespart. Oh, das ist es du in einzig und Melech am Moschia.
Thank you again for listening in and for tuning in. And again, I would say, please call your friends and say to them, something good is happening here tonight. There is much learning that is happening, and we want them to share in the knowledge that is being passed on. So I would read a press release that has been sent to the citizens of this planet, and it has been sent to every news agency on the planet, as well as people have been asked to share the information and to pass the information on. This press release was not intended for radio or television, and that's simply because we did not want people pulling pieces out of it and making their own spin. We wanted the information to go out as sent. And because I know of that stipulation, I will take the liberty to read, and I will read exactly what is in that press release, and then I will spend about 2 minutes making some observations before we go into talking about eating times. So this is a communication that has been sent out. The title is Global Transition into Peace, Wealth, and Security. In this time of goodwill among people, His Majesty Michael Uriel I, the royal monarch of the sovereign kingdom of Mana, is bringing to all people globally a period of peace, equity, and the redistribution of wealth and prosperity. Supported by highly advanced technologies designed to protect the planet and her environment and to restore the balance between humanity and nature. After an extensive election process, His Majesty Michael Uriel Gabriel Raphael Zafkiel of All Saints, which we can abbreviate to His Majesty Michael Uriel I, was elected to the position of King's Supreme Commander and Grandmaster Knight, Royal Monarch ruler of the sovereign kingdom of Mana. His Majesty Michael Uriel I has been waiting in the wings, patiently and meticulously preparing for such a time as this to bring forth a better and more balanced life and environment for the benefit of all people. His Majesty Michael Uriel I, the royal monarch of the Sovereign Kingdom of Mana, currently owns extensive sovereign territories globally. His Majesty Michael Uriel I has designated that these sovereign territories will be assigned to restore the balance with nature and to allow the environment to heal, complemented by the advanced technologies which protect rather than hinder nature. His Majesty Michael Uriel I has authorized all sovereign territories of the Sovereign Kingdom of Mana to be rebuilt and restored for the benefit and well-being of both nature and the citizens of the sovereign territory of Mana. So that is just a very short press release, but it does say some things. And one of the main things it's saying is that people understand and read what is happening here. So let's say President Joe Biden. President Joe Biden will never send out a communication to all citizens because he does not have the authority to send out any messages to country. He can't just send a message to the citizens of Canada or the citizens of Jamaica or the UK or Australia. He does not have that ability to do that, because he cannot override the governments in those places. So when a country is able to send out a press release globally to every person on the planet, it is saying something very profound about the monarch that has the right and the authority to do that, and the nation and the kingdom that is. People will be reaching out to me to ask questions as to what exactly does this mean, and at that time I will be more than happy, within the context of what I currently do, to provide that kind of information as much as I could share. So we are going to be talking tonight about weight gain, health, your health, and your eating times. But before we go into that, I would again, because I've been asked by people who listen to the program, they say to me, please play more music. So I am accepting their recommendations, and I will continue to play more music than talk tonight.
Nimm dich in der Natur, ist du ein Winter, nicht ein Leica ruf, ruf, ruf. Der zweite Leica ruf, ruf. An jedem Fass am Mund, sie steigen auf Arrow. Ei, wenn man fällt, man heißt sich auf, dann werden Säume noch sich hier. Jeder Breckel, jeder Fleckel, wird mit Otto bald allein. Och, och, gefallen heißt sich auf, auf. Reicht er wie dem Schroff, Schroff. Heißt sich auf, wenn dein Water, 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 Water. Wird so mulig, nimm sich Winter. In Natur ist du a Winter. Nicht ein Weg, wir sind die Schamen. Wir sich nicht selber mannen. Och, och, gefallen heißt sich auf.
And that was Lipa Schlumetzer, and one of their really nice pieces. So tonight we will continue our discussions. And in our last few series, in this series, which I call the Christmas series, we have been discussing time. And what we primarily looked at is the fact that we are orientated to the environment. What that means is that our entire system is programmed based on what's going on in our environment. By this I mean sleep, wake, hunger, thirst, satiation, blood pressure, pulse rate, dreaming, thinking, they are all synchronized by and synchronized to the environment, and specifically light and dark, as well as temperature. So in among the earlier discussions, we said that the brain responds to light and dark, and that determines our sleep-wake cycle. So as the sun begins to set in the day and it begins to grow dark, it triggers the production of melatonin in the brain. And this secretion of melatonin is what puts us to sleep. We also said that there are artificial things in our environment that can throw off our sleep-wake cycle, such as artificial light that continues throughout the evening when we should be winding down. We also talked about other kinds of behaviors like looking at movies late into the night, being on the phone, being on the computer playing games, that these activities, because of the light and the energies that they transmit into our systems, we tend to throw off balance the synchronization to light and darkness. And then that in turn interferes with other systems, including our metabolic system. We also learned in the last few weeks that we have been inserted into schedules that do not in any way relate to the natural order of things. So, for example, we now know that there are key neurochemicals that are released that interact with our life as living organisms. And as I said earlier, these neurochemicals, they influence things such as our body temperature, pulse rate, hunger, thirst, sleep, wake, etc. So it stands to reason then that in the same way that the environment synchronizes our brains to sleep-wake cycle, that our feeding cycles also regulated by naturally occurring elements in the atmosphere. Now, it also stands to reason that the same way that our sleep-wake cycle could be interfered with based on things in our environment, artificial things in our environment, or the environment that we create, then the same way that our natural sleep-wake cycle is disturbed or manipulated or changed, the same way our natural feeding cycle could be manipulated and negatively impacted by the physical environment that we have created. In tonight's episode, we will be discussing our feeding habits and its impact on our health, obesity, or our ability to manage our weight, and body image disorder, or BID. There are several considerations that one can look at when trying to understand their eating behaviors or their eating habits. So based on scientific research, we know that the times that we eat are critical to our hunger-thirst regulation. One of my close medical associates looked at the way that people ate and decided to return eating habits back to what happened on the plantation during slavery. And I did say earlier on that I am a historian, so I'm going to bring some of that history to bear on what we are discussing today. So, what this medical practitioner looked at, he looked at the way his parents ate. And what happened among his parents is that they tended to eat backwards. They tended to have dinner at breakfast time. Why was this so? Well, in the slave societies, the slaves will be woken up way before the sun came up. So it would be before the sun came up, they would have been up. And at that time, they would have fed themselves primarily like those who were in the Caribbean specifically and in parts of South and Central America. They ate root crops. So they would have yams and potatoes and yucca, which we now know to be complex carbs, which stays in the system for a longer time because it is metabolized more slowly. They would also have dried meat or dried fish, such as salted cod or salted fish, and that would be the meat that they would have. So to a large extent, they were pescatarians who ate fish, but preserved fish. So they would have this heavy meal in the morning, And then they spent the entire day out in the fields working and did not eat again until sundown. So that's how slaves ate. Tonight we are going to show you what is happening in our physical environment and in our natural environment and how we can make use of what we have been doing in the past. So I turned up at, I stayed some time at my friend's home, and I knew his wife actually. His wife was friends, I was friends with, and I met her husband, who was the medical practitioner. And when I got in late at night, and then when I came downstairs the next morning, there was an extensive spread on the dining room table, including desserts. And my friend said, Yvette, I know you're going to be surprised, but here we eat dinner at breakfast time. And for the duration of time that I was there, when I had dinner at breakfast time, I went through the entire day without being hungry. And what happened is that by the time I ended my day, I still wasn't hungry. So I more or less defaulted to eating one time for the day. So, based on scientific studies, we know that there are critical times when our body is synchronized to the environment for when we should eat. And what we have found is that there are a series of amino acids or neuropeptides in the brain, and the neuropeptides release their hunger mechanisms in our bodies. However, because we have been herded and we eat when the bell rings, or we eat on the go, or we eat on it's lunchtime and we have to rush and get something from the deli or the fast food place so that we can eat and run back to work, that has significantly interfered with our natural eating patterns that are synchronized with the environment.
למה ככה זה קורה, כל פעם לא יוצא מזה, יושב חושב מה לעשות ולא מוצא תשובות. כולם מנסים להסביר את המצב, אבל בפנים אני יודע שזה לא נחשב. רוצה לעצור את הכל, רוצה אבל לא יכול, לא יודע איך הכל קרה מהר בלי התראה. אז מה לעשות, מה לעשות, שואל את עצמי כל פעם בלילות, האם תחזור לעולם כבר לא תשוב. התקופה היפה של השקט והשלווה חלפה לך, נותרה בי עוד תקווה. למה כל כל כך מוזר? רק חושב על המחר, מקווה שיהיה לי טוב עמוק בפי, שאני לבד עם עצמי ולא רק עם חברים. אז מה לעשות? מה לעשות? שואלת עצמי כל פעם השקט והשלווה חלפה לאח, נותרה בי עוד שום דבר מרגש. מרגיש בתוכי תחושה של עצב שורף, מסתובב ברחוב לא מבין מה כולם רוצים, ושוב נשאר לבדי עם אותם הרגעים.
And that is, again, we were listening to Mr. Umar Adams, and that is an intimate piece. It is Let's Have Romance Tonight. Let's have the candlelights and the good music so that we romance each other tonight. And you are listening to Empowering Lives, Shaping Destinies. My name is Dr. Yvette Kinnerick, and I am your host and sponsor. And as I said earlier, don't learn alone. Please call your friends and let them know that something really good is happening here and that they want to be in tune. The problem of obesity is a widespread one, and I can almost say that it touches just about the lives of everyone, because there is obesity among our family members. We are obese, and it's just about every other person that we encounter on the road, on the streets. And whereas obesity tended to be a problem that was concentrated largely in the United States and to some extent Canada, we are finding that obesity as a problem is being spread to all areas peripherally on the planet. And what do I mean by that? There is a body weight that is ideal for us as individuals, and it's based on a number of dynamics. But optimal weight is something that is not just about the way we look or the way we feel about our bodies. It is also tied in with our health and with our longevity, because we are seeing there is a correlation between obesity or weight issues. And obesity is not the only weight problem. Anorexia is a serious issue among a large number of people, and people with anorexia could find themselves in the coffin very quickly and very easily. So as we talk about obesity, as we talk about weight, as we talk about weight management, we are saying that it is a critical issue. Why are we seeing a spread of obesity around the planet? Well, if you think about it, obesity as a problem in your society is one where if you took the entire population, you might find a higher number of people in the population who are outside the parameters of an ideal weight for them. Trying to diet, looking at people who have what is called defined bodies and wanting to be like them, that is an artificial thing that is in our environment, and it does not stimulate or promote weight loss. So there are other things that are happening, and we want to know what are those things. So what we know is that there are neuropeptides in the brain, and the neuropeptides trigger hunger, but the neuropeptides are released about 1 hour before sunset. And this is what we know. It is synchronized to light and darkness. So at the time that melatonin is being produced, but it is at its lower level, that is the ideal time for eating. Why is it the ideal time for eating? Because melatonin functions where it takes us down. So eating will sustain us during the evening and during the night. And that sustaining lasts for about 8 to 6 hours. What that means is that when we eat, if we ate 1 hour before sundown or within an hour before and an hour after sundown, let's give ourselves some leeway there. It means that between 6 to 8 hours, that sustained eating or what we have eaten will take us to bedtime. Except if we stayed up very late and we stimulated ourselves, then that in itself could trigger a pattern of eating out of sync. I'm going to repeat that. When the melatonin sets in the body, increased melatonin is setting in the system, this is the time when neuropeptides are released for eating. And eating, especially proteins, but we're going to talk about that, what we eat in a little bit. But if our melatonin is not being produced efficiently so that we are not going to bed in time, then what happens is that our hunger phase is prolonged into the evening. And then we have problems going to sleep because sometimes the food is not digested. The food is still sending up a load of energy. And we are going to sleep with too much food in our system and placing a burden on our metabolic system, because our metabolic system is lower because we are asleep and there is so much food inside of us. So eating 1 hour before sundown or between 1 hour and I would say between an hour before and an hour after sundown is ideal. I would say the same for in the mornings, because in the mornings, melatonin is decreasing and you're getting ready to go into the day. And this is why synchronizing meals prior to or in the evening might be a good idea. So when we look at people who do intermittent fasting, and these are people who decide that they will eat once a day, it is ideal if they had that meal at 1 hour before sundown. Again, for people who are on a keto diet, they can use the system that is related to sleep-wake cycle and melatonin production, or when melatonin production is pulled back, and they can focus on having proteins. Reason being is that the proteins that we use, the neuropeptides that are released, neuropeptides to enhance the metabolism of proteins.
Love. I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing, hallelujah.
You're listening to Empowering Lives and Shaping Destinies. My name is Dr. Yvette Kinnerick, and I am your host and your sponsor. And you were just listening to The Broken Hallelujah, and it was that is sung a cappella from Pentatonix. Prior to that, you listened to Nogila from Levi Folkwitz, who lives in Williamsburg, New York. And tonight we are talking about eating times. And what we have said so far is that there is a particular time of the day when your body is optimized to eat. However, we have been eating out of sync and out of time. And I just gave a little bit of explanation as to what happens when we eat out of time during the night. For example, if we eat way after sunset, and then we engage in all the activities that undermine our sleep-wake cycle, then we are going into the night with when our metabolism is lowered and we have this bulk of food that we are trying to digest. That is why many research, many studies have shown that sleep is critical for weight loss. If you want to begin to lose weight, then you might want to reconsider your sleeping habits. Sleeping between 8 and 10 hours every night will enhance your weight. Your weight loss and get you back to what is what is acceptable within acceptable range for you. But the times that you sleep is also important. So if you went to bed at midnight and slept until 10 in the morning, you are also going out of sync with your sleep-wake cycle as it pertains to the light-dark. And that also will mean that you will gain rather than lose weight because the sleep-wake and the dark-light cycle that modulates the eating cycle will be out of sync as well. So now I'm going to say something to you, and this has to do with the way your brain is structured. So this has to do with the way that your brain is structured. Could you hold, please? Yes, so people who want to ask questions, and that was something that was coming in there, you can type your question in. There is a chat that is available, or you can send your questions via text to me, and I will address those questions that you might have. So your brain is the command center of an elaborate communication system that this system is essential. It is an essential energy regulator. So there is a network of communication that happens. So there is a very, very elaborate communication systems that the brain is in charge of. And this communication system is the hub that regulates your natural internal homeostasis, such as sleep, wake, rest and state, fight, flight, etc. So this system includes your central and peripheral nervous system, your gastrointestinal tract, so that's what goes on in the gut, your hormonal system, and more. So, for example, women will find themselves eating more before their menstrual cycle. And if they are on a natural rhythm, then the body has its own way of evening out the weight gain. But once we have gone into our hormones and interfered with our hormones because we are taking birth control medication, that sort of changes the structure, the hormonal structure, then we can find ourselves gaining weight. And if you read very closely some of the contraindications and side effects of birth control drugs, is that you could have weight loss or weight gain. And that's because it is quite likely changing your hormonal system. So the hypothalamus, which we have been talking about quite a lot, and I did identify where the hypothalamus sit in the brain, and the fact that there is a group of nuclei in a specific area right there in the brain that is sending messages throughout all the parts of the brain. That is the same area that regulate your hunger, thirst, eating as well. And that again is tied into the light dark cycle. So I want to say that the large food industry, and contrary to what we think, we might think that there are hundreds and thousands of owners of the food industry. That is far from so. The food industry is owned by a very small cartel, and they are known by other names such as the 1% that controls the planet or interferes. And I wouldn't say control anymore, because they have been removed from their position of control, but who have manipulated our planet for a very, very long time. These people, they make sure that enough monies are thrown at people who will engage in research that supports their program. So we know that drug companies will pay researchers to do trials, and they're going to come to people and they will say, okay, we're going to do a drug trial on you before it goes to the market. We're going to pay your stipend to take part in it. We're going to give you full medical services, etc., etc., etc. Why are they able to do that? Because the drug companies give them mega monies to do so. Well, the food companies and drug and food go together. They throw lots and lots and lots of monies for research to be done. They also throw a lot of monies so that findings could be skewed, and those findings could be given out to people, and then people run away with the wrong idea. So let's correct some of the things that we might or might not believe. I started off by saying that weight issues is an indication that we're eating too much. Does that mean that you are greedy, or does that mean that you are out of control? Well, that's how you are made to feel. But the truth is, your reward system, your dopaminergic system, your addictive system is manipulated, and it is that manipulation along with the herding that we have been exposed to that is causing us to overeat. I'll repeat that. Drug companies and food industries, they throw monies into research that will support their programs or what they're trying to get over to the public. So they will do research that will further their aim. They do research on the foods that is sold to the public. And the food that is sold to the public, the adjustment is made in such a way to cause addictions to sugar, salt, and fat primarily, that sends signals to different parts of the brain and throws the brain out of sync. And then we have the fact that we've been herded. And I've talked about the herding. We go to school at a certain time. We have to get to work at a certain time. The babies are eating at a certain time. The fetus is eating. And all of those herdings, along with manipulating our dopaminergic system, are some of the things that is causing us to overeat. And it is causing us to gain weight. And the rigorously study how these things affect us. And I'm going to go in some more into that. As a matter of fact, I thought that I would only have been needing to do one session on eating times. However, as I looked at the bulk of materials that I had in front of me, I believe that I have to do several of these. So there are some things that I want to say that is going to cause us to have a better understanding of why we are overeating. There are many people among us whose constant thought is about food. What am I going to eat? What if I get hungry? What is going to be there for lunch? And there is a constant bombarding in the brain relating to food. And then as you walk along the streets, as you drive along, there are constant messaging about food that is being sent into our system. Those are some of the things that have been manipulated to negatively impact us. And then what happens is that we are overriding what our body is telling us, not because we are choosing to do so, but because we are manipulated and herded. And our reward system, our dopaminergic system is activated and attuned to food. And even though that activation is to specific ingredients in the food, we don't know that that's what's happening. But this is what is actually happening to us. So these companies are also in the business of sending out wrong information to the public. So some of us think that if we engage in vigorous exercises, it will help control weight. Well, I'll tell you what. If you sat quietly, if you do sedentary work, which entails the use of your brain, you are burning more energy than you would burn if you're on the treadmill or if you're doing laps around the savannah or around the block. And that's one of the myths that needs to be dispelled. And yes, it does impact your weight gain, and it will allow you to eat more and gain less weight if you're exercising. But people who are obese, so this is another myth. The myth is, if you are obese, then you are not metabolizing food as quickly as other people. Well, actually, if you are obese, you are using up more energies metabolizing food than people who are lean. You generally burn more energy because you have a bigger mass to carry around. You have yourself, which is heavier every time you lift your feet. It's taking more energy than someone who has very slender feet and legs. So that's another myth that that has to be gotten rid of. But there is also the belief that we have internally a system that causes homeostasis. And yes, that is true. But food is one of the things that will activate the flight fight mechanism. Because when we eat, the motivation to eat is triggered by our system, which says fight or flight. So food is needed and food is stored so that food will allow us to fly, to flee or to fight, except that we are eating more than we need and storing more than we need in the event that there is a need to flee or to fight. I want to segue just a little bit to talk about racism and discrimination. And what we know about racism and discrimination is that when Darwin brought up, when Darwin presented his theory of orthogenesis, which is we as humans will become more complex and more perfect as time goes on. Darwin said, well, what you're going to do, you're going to kill people or destroy people who are not as suited or not as evolved as we are. And what the geneticists did, they said, we are going to look at proteins because hair has a high component of protein, skin, nails, eye color. Well, guess what they were saying? That a certain type of hair, a certain skin color, a certain eye color make one person superior to another. So therefore, energies were put into understanding how proteins metabolize. So when we talk about neuropeptides, they are amino acids that are very, very specific to protein consumption. But guess what? The poorer people of the world have more sugar, more fats, and more carbohydrates than the wealthier people who dine on lean meat. So it is not by chance that carbohydrates is inexpensive. It is purposeful. Are we saying that it is more expensive to raise the animals? like the beef and the chicken. And no, it's not. It's not in the scheme of things, but it is a good idea to sell people high carbs, high sugar, high fat, because the poor people, that's what they're going to be gravitating towards. So there is a lot than what meets the eye. When we begin to try to understand why we are obese as a nation, why there is higher obesity among people of a specific race or among minorities, it is not something that is happening by chance. Now, do we retaliate with retaliatory discrimination and racism or reverse racism? We will say no, definitely no, because our thoughts and our behaviors work as a feedback loop. And if we send out racism and discrimination, anger and hatred back into the atmosphere, into the system, then all that's going to be happening is that we will be hurting ourselves. But education is enlightenment, and enlightenment allows us to do better because we know better. So I have some callers on the line. I have some people sending in questions, and we are way into the evening, and I am going to reach out to 480-292. I will unmute your microphone and feel free to ask your question.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. Shouts out to everybody out there that's listening tonight on the Neo Nation. It's very important y'all get this information. I have one brief question. What do you see coming for the world in 23 from your standpoint and your perspective?
Okay, I will answer that question based on my knowledge and relationship with the Kingdom of Mana. I will answer the question from that perspective, but I would also say that there are some secrets that I would never be allowed in, security issues that I'm never allowed to say, especially in an open forum like this. So this is what I would say. At the beginning of this program tonight, I read a press release from the Kingdom of Mana, and I threw out some questions, and I said, His Majesty Michael Uriel I sent this document to all the citizens on this planet. And then I said, President Joe Biden cannot do that. He cannot send out a communication to the people who live in Canada. He cannot do it to Venezuela. The president of any one country cannot send out that. So the fact that we are sending this out to all citizens of the planet, it is an indication that His Majesty Michael Uriel the first has authority, not just over the citizens of the Kingdom of Mana, but over the citizens of the planet. I also would like to say that every nation have received their constitution from Mana. So their ability to manage a government or to run a country, that permission was given to them by Mana. If it's been given to them by Mana, it could be taken back by Mana if we are of the opinion that they have stood in the way of the health and well-being of the citizens, because every citizen on this planet is registered under MANA. So you are registered under MANA. And one of the things we will be doing is returning sovereignty to the citizens of the nation. Where I sit, I know that there has been substantial funding made available to governments. I also know that many governments have acted out of the best, not in the best interest of its citizens, especially because we made substantial funding and assistance available to every government back in 2019 at the first so-called outbreak of the COVID-19. The fact that governments did not come forward and receive those fundings to be used to alleviate and to help their citizens means that governments by and large have acted in not the best interest of their people. And the fact that so many citizens died globally, they are, to the least we can say, criminally, they have engaged in crimes of crimes against humanity. We in the Kingdom of Mana will leave no stone unturned to ensure that every citizen is transitioned into peace, the redistribution of wealth, equity, and security. And what we mean by that is that when you live in your home, and you believe or you know that any day someone can knock on your door and tell you that your house is being foreclosed on, that is a lack of security. And His Majesty Michael Uriel Gabriel Zafkael, the first of the sovereign kingdom of Mana, is under no circumstances going to stand by and allow the people of the nations to suffer. The fact that we are now sending out press releases and we are addressing it to the citizens, it speaks volumes. It is saying to governments, look at what we are doing here. We are no longer talking with you, but we are talking with the people. And if I were a person in government and I saw a press release like that, I would be very frightened and very concerned. Have I answered your question?
Yes, you did. 100%. Yes. I'm sorry, I was on mute. But yes, you did. More about the mute. I'll probably
Have I answered your question?
I'm sorry?
Have I answered your question?
Oh, yes, ma'am, you did. I got a lot out of it. And shout out to Dr. Ron Robinson and Dr. NWM and all the other members of the Neo Nation. Peace.
Peace. So we have 518-866, I will unmute your microphone for any questions or comments.
It's Lauren Robinson, and I saw an interesting comment by Tom Hanks, the actor, on a video. He said he was extremely upset with this country's educational system because he did not know about Tulsa, Oklahoma, which we call right now Black Wall Street. He did not know about the history, he said, of black folks in America and what transpired all these years in our history. And he said he felt cheated, he felt lied to, and he felt denied his rights to know. And, you know, on that basis, I'm just saying that Educate yourself, people. Educate yourself. If you live, and he is 66 years old, Tom Hanks, the actor, he's 66. And he's saying that he's been lied to all these years, and he did not know what happened to African Americans out through the history of this country for the last 400 years. And he did not know about all these things. And he feel cheated. He feel denied his rights. He feel ignorant. He feel mad. But people, educate yourself. It's not that far. The history of this experiences is not that. I know we say we keep saying 400 years, 400 years, but it's not that old. If you look at economic stability in the African American community, and African Americans have been contributing to the society for a long time, but if you look at real true economic full potential and participation in government and civic responsibility and consumer responsibility and participation and full citizenship, African Americans truly have not been that until the last 50 years. So to my Caucasian brothers and sisters, educate yourself. The information is out there. It's a Google away. It's a phone Google away. It's a Google away from the computer. It is right there in your hands. Don't get upset because you did not know and nobody didn't tell you. And I know Professor Jeff Robinson said you should get mad at the people, mad at the teachers, mad at the neighbors, mad at everybody as an African-American and that they did not know this information. And he said, well, how can I get mad at them if they haven't been taught, if their information has been taken away from them? But I'll just say coming in 2023, we have to tell it like it is, you know, so I don't understand how the information get hidden that for that long. So I'll just say that, you know, we need to talk about it. We need to tell people about it. You know, us folks here in North America, we need to, you know, wherever we at, actually, we should tell people our experiences and what we learned and what happened. And so, you know, it's just amazing to me that people do not know after all these years, you know. What is your feeling about that?
Dr. Robinson, one of the things I learned in my research is that if one generation has an experience that the second generation, the third generation, the fourth generation, and that's how far the study went, they didn't go beyond that, up to the fourth generation, they will have the negative experience that was had. So if we have one, two, three, four generations, five generations, so let's say five generations away had a negative experience, the fourth generation or four generations later, they will have compromised pathways even though they were never exposed to the experience that was experienced by the generation that was five generations away. In other words, if we were to say that one generation equates 50 years, so let's take a conservative figure, 5 times 50 is 250 years. So our generation, that is 250, so if we were to take 250 years away, we are talking about experiences that would have happened in the 1700s. We are neurologically impacted by that. When I get onto this program again on the eating times, because I will do an additional session on this, or maybe two more. I would talk about why we are being killed. We are being killed by the foods that we're eating. And then people could proudly turn around and say that, well, if you're African-American, then you are more susceptible. Really? Is it because our genes are weak? Or is it because you know that you have meddled and manipulated our system so we are more vulnerable? And that is true of foods. I was doing one of my courses in psychology, and I began reading some stuff. And I remember I went outside, I walked all around the pool of my home, and I said, oh my goodness, we are being killed. We have been targeted to be killed. There are foods that is sent into our community and into our lives to kill us. That was just one of the ways of culling the population. And that is never right.
Interesting. Well, I want to say that also in terms of eating, growing up in the segregated South, growing up on the farm in South Carolina, it seems that there were certain things that brought joy to hardworking folks in the South that were denied a lot. I know my grandmother and my grandfather, sometimes there were people that were still living post-slavery, family members of 100, well, they said we had an aunt, and she would live in this old raggedy house, and I don't know why they didn't do anything to fix it up, but they say she was 105 years old. And they made all the kids go on Sunday and sit around her, and she would talk and talk and talk. Nothing was consistent at that age, you know. Nothing was, stories did not jive, you know, properly, but she was telling different stories. And the joy of getting dressed and going to church, the joy of having picnics, the joy of having family over and sitting down and eating, and the southern states, you know, people would eat. I mean, they would eat, and if you had no meat on your bone, they would say something wrong with you, you know, and somebody would end up heavy. They'll say, oh, don't worry about it, you just big boned, you just pleasingly plump, you know, it's all good, you know, because a lot of it, they found joy that they did not experience in a long time in America, you know, a lot. And you would find that in the South, in the segregated South, in the farming areas where people had maybe experienced, like, you know, we talk about post-traumatic syndrome of slavery, where people probably experienced that. And so it was a joy. Certain things brought them joy. It was a joy to have a car. It was a joy to have television. So I'm talking about the 50s and the 60s, right? So black people are finally in the South, segregated South, in the impoverished areas, in the farming areas. We had real poverty because they did not know about welfare back then when I was growing up. And even old men were giving back Social Security retirement checks because they felt nobody would give them something for nothing. So there's a lot of things that they were denied, but the food, it was a joy. It was women back then, it was a joy for them to cook. It was a joy for them to see you eating. It was a joy to sit down at a table and have family. And that's one thing that if you remember, one of the things that slavery did, it denounced the black family. The slaves were not able to have family. They weren't able to find their family. And so coming in the 19th century, 18th century, where people were so-called free, people enjoy eating. That was one of the pastimes that I know that, you know, we made a big deal out of it. You know, you had to go wash up and dress in a nice clothes to eat dinner sometimes. You know, you had to sit around a big, nice table with a white cloth and all the fancy utensils. And some people were fortunate enough to have china, you know, and fancy fancy dishware and utensils and things like that, you know, and you had your fork for the salad, your fork for the soup, you know, things that they, you know, things that my people used to serve the whites in America. Now they had these things themselves, and they were so excited about it. So you find a lot, and like you're saying, you find a lot of overeating, you find a lot of obesity back in those days. People eat, you know, it was like a lot of, we had sugar cane, and kids didn't have candy, but we had sugar cane, and we would suck on the sugar cane, and we would have sweet drinks, and, you know, women would make these coconut vanilla cakes, and apple pies, and peach pies, and, you know, sweet potato pie, pumpkin pie, and it would, every Sunday, and they would put them on the windows, and us kids sometimes, as a joke, we thought was a joke, we would steal a pie and run in the woods and eat the pie, and, you know, it was just it was a joy. Food was a joy, you know what I'm saying? And us kids, we just got into the joy of it, but our parents and our grandparents were celebrating something that they didn't experience, you know, as much. Or maybe they did experience it when they was a kid, but it became a celebration, if you will. It became a culture. It became a part of the evolution of the black man into society, if you will. So you find a lot of people overeating in the South, you know, because of a lot of and then the food was, you know, soul food was the food that the slaves were given, you know, from the master, you know, like pork and certain parts of the chicken and certain parts of the pig, and you know I don't know if you heard of chitlins, but chitlins, you know, the inside of the pig, blah blah blah, you know, pork, heavy foods, you know, a lot of starch, grits, potato salad, you know, macaroni salad, rice, you know, you had all this stuff, you had chicken, you had steak. When you ate dinner, you had, you know, rice, you had potatoes, you had salad, you had potato salad, green salad, everything. And you had all this. Then after that, you had all these sweets. You had coconut pie, vanilla coconut pie, and chocolate pie, and, you know, apple pie. And you know, they did a big thing. And I think a lot of it was the joy of having something, if you will, that you did not have. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you know, Dr. Robinson, among the research when it comes to eating, there is something that happens when people are starved or when people go into fasting. And starving or starvation will create in generations. So remember I said, generations, five generations ago, they experienced starvation because they were never fed well as slaves. That activated a higher motivation to eat in the generations that followed. So the family is good thing. It's a good thing to eat with family. It's a good thing to have seasons of festivity. But it's a bad thing when we have been wired into eating, because way back in our primitive memory, there is a time when we were starved. And the primitive memory, it triggers fight, flight, or homeostasis. So when we don't have homeostasis, which is a balance and a rest, and this happens when there is GABA, so our food system is linked to the production of GABA, which is a neurochemical, where we feel happy, where we feel satisfied. Some of us have lost the ability to experience homeostasis with food, and we eat all the time, and there is something that's wrong, especially when the overeating and obesity are linked to compromising illnesses. So when we look at obesity among African American and morbid obesity and the high preponderance of morbid obesity and obesity, we have to find out what the real answers are about. And over the holiday, I did some cooking, my daughter did some cooking, but I remember just making all this, doing a lot of food and having a lot of meat, different dishes prepared at Christmas time. And it was the time when the family came over and we all ate and we talked, and it's a good time. And that has a very, very valid place. But when we are given the worst kinds of food, worst kinds of fat, when we're given the worst kinds of carbohydrates, because people know that these are the dishes that we are likely to make. And they can make the same dishes, but very, very refined kinds of products. It puts us in a place of disadvantage. And this discussion needs to be continued. And in continuing this discussion, we will talk about some historical processes and eating as it relates to minorities and different ethnic groups. And when we do that, we will be able to come up with some answers to heal ourselves and be able to enjoy food. Because a lot of us eat food, and when we finish eating food, we are guilty about eating it and we feel bad. That's because we are eating food based on triggerings in our reward pathway and not in the neural pathways that where we have wholesome foods. I want to thank all my guests and all my listeners. I want to thank you for being here with us tonight. Your participation has made our day. It has made this program a very valuable program. And as we close, I am going to play the Oleinu, which is a prayer that is said every night. At the end of the day, I want to say thank you all. I want to say good night. I want to say I appreciate you. I want to thank Dr. Robinson and Ronald J. for coming in and supporting the program. I really, really appreciate you. And may you have the best night ever.
Doing hakoi, lo seis que tu lo lio y se bereshi. Oleinu le shabeya, la doin hakoi, lo seis que tu lo lio y se bereshi. Oleinu le shabeya. law adoin hakoi to seis ke tu lo leo yete bereishi oleinu le shabeya la adoin hakoi to seis ke tu lo leo yete bereishi shelo yo sto Goyen yuwaroto Veloy tomonu Kemishbechoy to atama Shelosom chalkeinu kohen Shelosom chalkeinu kohen Betoyr aleinu Kichol hamoino
Thank you. Thank you.